I once read about a theory that I like very much, and the theory is about why people count sheep when they're trying to go to sleep. Now, here's the image that I was given that I just love, that counting sheep helps you to fall asleep because it occupies both sides of your brain. It occupies the imagination part as you try to envision the sheep jumping over the fence or whatever you'd like to see the sheep do. And it occupies the counting, you know, sort of the analytical part of your brain because you're having to count. And so if you can occupy both sides of your brain, then things calm down and maybe you can sleep. Doesn't work for me, but... But, as you all know, we can rest better, just in general, when we can let go of our worries. I don't know about you, but very often when I am awake at night, it's because I'm worried about something that happened that day, or something that might, but probably won't, happen the next day. But if I can let go of the worries, then I can rest. We have in today's gospel the image of the Good Shepherd, and it is given to us so that we can let go of worry and find rest in God. Now, I love sheep in the abstract. I think they're cute because I don't have to deal with them. I love the Serta ads that have them numbered and named, and I think they're little cute animals. But I don't want to be one, because the thing that's associated with sheep is that they all go together and they don't think, and so they just go in the herd. So I'm not too crazy about that part. I love Jesus taking care of me, but I'm not sure that I want to think about just being part of the herd inside the gate. This is a difficulty for us in this story, I think. As Americans, we glorify and we thrive on individualism and self-reliance and self-definition. And so when we hear about being inside the fence with the rest of the herd, we hear dependence. We hear limitation. We hear sameness. And those are not the things that we tend to glorify in our culture. But I'd like to put before you today that the Good Shepherd image speaks not of limitation, but of protection. So it begs the question, how can a story about being inside the fence talk to us about freedom? When you love someone, how do you allow that person freedom when you know that freedom may lead to harm? Those of you who are parents of teenagers probably ask this question every day. How do you let this person be their own person and have freedom and yet protect them? God does give us freedom to choose. But God also gives us a place and a way that we can re-enter safely when we have chosen the wrong priorities. Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters." And God does these things, not for limitation, but for protection. And thanks to the Good Shepherd, to defining myself through God, I can be so protected that I'm free to be my authentic self. I don't have to do things to please other people and to get their approval, because I have approval in God, and that frees me to do whatever I feel called to do authentically. God goes before me as the shepherd, not only in this story, but in John 14, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then he goes on to say, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So I am protected by God, I am defined by God, and that means I don't have to let the herd define me or trouble me. I don't have to put myself in danger to make a name for myself or to stand out from the crowd or to feel that I'm worth something. I don't need a constant adrenaline rush to feel alive because I am free of culture's restraints. I'm free of human fear and human insecurity. I'm worth something because I am the beloved of God. John 14 also says something very familiar to us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Let go of the worry and the fear, and you can rest. Not that long ago, shortly before I started coming to church here, I thought that such peace was a fiction. Within 7 months of my life, I lost 2 members of my immediate family, and I lost my job, and I moved twice, and I had no idea who I was. With my sister gone and my dad gone, I kept asking, well, who am I? Because I always relied on them to let me know I was okay. And without that impressive job, that I never should have taken, by the way, I started wondering, am I worth anything? Am I just a meaningless creature? And then I came here and I started learning about God. And I realize now, on my good days, that I find myself image in God, and that I allow Jesus to become the guardian of my soul, and nothing can threaten me. I put all of my value as a person into the person I am and in Christ. And the Good Shepherd says, nobody's going to take that from you. And now, when I have to venture out into dangerous and frightening places, God goes before me. When I have to venture out of the safety of this transcendent way of thinking into earthly places of loss and fear and insecurity, the Good Shepherd goes before me. And the next time I face unimaginable loss, I can walk through that darkest valley without fear. The Good Shepherd goes before me. The Good Shepherd has faced all that I will face. And the Good Shepherd lives. And because my Redeemer lives, so do I. So no matter what happens to me on earth, I have a place in the shepherd's care. I'm inside the gate. I'm under the protection of Jesus. And there I find not limitation but safety that gives me total freedom to be the person I am called to be. I can stop letting my imagination of what might happen, my worry, keep me awake. No more imagining the worst. No more counting my virtues and my transgressions to see if I make the cut. The gate keeps me safe. The Good Shepherd revives my soul. No more imagining, no more counting. Now I can rest.